Deepali from India.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Oh, yes, perfect. Sir. Hi, Deepali.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Dr. Raina Fumit.
Hello, Deepali.
I can hear you all. And hello, everyone present in the room and on the panel. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Just a minute before you came on, we finished our interview with Dr. Peter Koenig, who worked for the WHO and the World Bank for 30 or 10 years, respectively. And he gave us some really, really important insights into what's going on there, how they're structured, and who's really in control. I'm pretty sure, Deepali, that you know these things because of the lawsuits that you have been concerned with. Can you briefly explain to our viewers who you are and what you do?
Yes. Hello, everyone. I'm Advocate Deepali Ojha from Mumbai, India. I'm a practicing advocate at Bombay High Court and Supreme Court of India. I'm also part of Indian Bar Association. Indian Bar Association is a forum of lawyers, and we all work towards the cause of bringing in transparency and accountability in the judiciary. Now, as we all were caught unawares last year in March 2020 with announcement of this corona pandemic, we were all confused and astonished because we were in unprecedented times, and never before this we had experienced such a phenomenon where we all were asked to, you know, we were locked down, and we were locked up inside our houses, and there was a severe restriction on the movement. There were mask mandates. So you see, initial 3 to 4 months we complied with all the rules. There was no option, but we had to comply. But there were a lot of questions going on in our minds as to, you know, what is it all about, and how come all of a sudden we are, you know, experiencing this crisis. And later, when the news of lab leak theory, whether, you know, this is a genetically engineered virus or whether it was prepared in a lab, was it an accidental leak? When such news started coming in, and we heard a lot, we could see videos which covered discussions around these topics, we were, very skeptical whether, you know, what we are experiencing is a natural phenomenon, whether it is a natural virus which has jumped from animal host to humans, or we are victims of some devious plot, you know, by some organizations. So we became very vigilant, and we started to watch everything with high level of caution and with a spirit of questioning. Now, I would like to explain an incident, narrate an incident that we came across in the month of May 2021.
Hold on 1 second. Let me quickly translate. 1 second.
Okay.
Also, Deepali Ojha ist eine praktizierende Anwältin am High Court von Indien und auch am Supreme Court. Sie ist außerdem Mitglied der indischen Anwaltskammer. Und sie beschreibt gerade, wie im März 2020 alle erstmal durch die Neuigkeiten aus dem angeblich neuen Virus geschehen in Wuhan verwirrt und erstaunt waren. Die haben erstmal die Lockdowns zwar mitgemacht, 3-4 Monate, aber es traten immer mehr und immer schneller Fragen auf. Die Frage war zunächst mal, ist das wirklich so, dass hier ein echtes, natürliches Virus unterwegs ist? Gab es hier ein Virus-Leck? Wurde hier was gemacht? Man war sehr skeptisch, ob das wirklich so sein kann, ob hier ein Virus vom Tier auf den Menschen übergesprungen ist. Oder steckte da ein Plan dahinter? Okay, there you go.
Okay, thank you. So we had two main questions. Number one, why is it that there is no medicine on this treatment of coronavirus, and why is everybody only targeting vaccine? Because we know that there are several other viruses for which we have medicines, and in case we have a viral infection, we always go to our doctors, the general physicians, our family doctors, and we get medicines and we cure ourselves. So the two questions were why not medicine but only vaccine that we are being forced to look forward to. And secondly, who is the authority who has decided that only vaccine can cure it and nothing else will work? So these two questions were at the back of our mind. Now, in May 2021, on 9th of May 2021, the state minister of health minister of state of Goa in India made an announcement that all adults in the state of Goa would be given ivermectin, the oral tablets, to prevent the spread of virus in the state of Goa. And immediately after this announcement was made, which was covered in the mainstream media, immediately on the next day, on 10th of May, we had a tweet coming in from Dr. Soumya Swaminathan. She is the chief scientist of World Health Organization. And I would like to read the exact words what she had tweeted on May 10th, 2021. She tweeted, "Safety and efficacy are important when using any drug for a new indication. WHO recommends against the use of ivermectin for COVID-19, except within clinical trials." And she had embedded a link. And this link was Merck's public statement dated 4th February 2021. So when a user would click this statement in her tweet, it would take him to the website of Merck, to this PDF of the company statement, wherein Merck had explained its own rationale as to why ivermectin is not recommended for treatment of COVID. So the main primary reasons were insufficient data and insufficient studies, which would be conclusive to comment on the safety and efficacy of drug for treatment of COVID-19. Interestingly, Merck is the leading manufacturer of ivermectin, and it is also in the process of coming up its own antiviral by name Molnupiravir for treatment of COVID-19. So we could sense that there is a conflict of interest as to when Merck is saying, no, do not use ivermectin, but at the same time, it is into manufacture of an antiviral for treatment of COVID. And Dr. Soumya Swaminathan relies on the statement of this private company, pharmaceutical company, Merck, to support her stand against ivermectin. So we found this very astonishing, and we decided to take a deep dive because we had seen the video of the state minister of Goa when he stated that he has relied on experts' opinion. There was a committee of experts, physicians in Goa, who had relied on studies, the clinical trials, and had arrived at a decision to administer ivermectin, the state of Goa. So why these two contradictory stands? Then we decided to deep dive, and we conducted an extensive research. This was the first time, we got into this whole, investigation kind of a study into this corona pandemic. And in our research, we were led to the website of FLCCC, which is Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance in the US, under the leadership of Dr. Paul Merrick, Dr. Pierre Corey, and other physicians. And BIRD, which is British Ivermectin Recommendation Development Panel in UK, where Dr. Tess Laurie is leading, and other physicians and scientists are working in this BIRD. We had a very deep dive research into their papers, and there was a lot of information on their websites. We downloaded all the research studies, and we made it a point to understand what they were trying to explain. And we reached a conclusion that yes, there exists drug which is helpful if it is administered in the early stage. It has a capacity to treat patients with mild symptoms, moderate symptoms. Even it was effective when included in protocol for treating seriously ill patients, critically ill patients who were in a comatose state in the hospital. And we came across two cases in the US where courts had intervened to help administer ivermectin on the seriously ill patients. And these patients were those whom the doctor had actually given up that they would not survive. But when ivermectin was included in their treatment, they came back. I mean, the ventilator was taken off after a certain duration of time, and these patients have survived. So we found it very surprising that if there is this drug which has the capacity to treat COVID patients, even the seriously ill COVID patients, why was this tweet from WHO? And then on the website of FLCCC, we saw this public statement dated 12th of May. And it is an extensive statement wherein there is a section where FLCCC team has explained what are the fallacies in WHO's recommendation against ivermectin. We studied that particular portion in depth, and that was a time when we made up our mind to issue a legal notice to WHO, Dr. Soumya Swaminathan, to ask her as to, to ask her to reply or to respond to all the points which FLCCC had mentioned in their public statement. Because if there is this drug which is very effective in the early treatment and it saves lives of patients, why is WHO denying access to this drug? This was our basic question. It was pertaining, it directly was concerned with the life and liberty of people, not only in India, across the globe. And this was the cause of action for issuing the first legal notice by Indian Bar Association. And it was issued on 25th of May, 2021. And I wish to inform everybody here that after the notice was served, Dr. Soumya Swaminathan deleted that controversial tweet. Huh.
How do you spell her name again?
S-O-U-M-Y-A.
Yeah.
And her second name is Swaminathan, S-W-A-M-I-N-A-T-H-A-N, Swaminathan.
I got it. Okay. So that was an immediate response by her.
Yes.
Interesting.
She deleted the tweet.
Let me translate that. Let me translate this.
Okay.
Also, die Indische Bar Association, aber offenbar auch die Menschen insgesamt waren so skeptisch, dass sie als erstes gefragt haben, zwei Fragen sich gestellt haben, nämlich erstens, warum gibt es hier offenbar keine Empfehlung für irgendeine Behandlung, wie man das ja sonst bei allen möglichen Grippe und sonst was Erkältungserkrankungen hat, auch das hier ist ja eine respiratorische Erkrankung, warum wird hier nur immer in Richtung Vaccines, Impfstoffe gepusht? Und die zweite Frage ist, die sie sich gestellt haben, hätten wir uns eigentlich auch stellen können, aber manche haben es ja getan, wer ist eigentlich verantwortlich hierfür? Wer hat die Autorität, sowas zu machen, sowas zu entscheiden, dass hier ausschließlich in Richtung Vaccines gepusht wird? Dann kam im Mai 2021 der Gesundheitsminister der Provinz Goa und der hat gesagt, Ivermectin, das funktioniert, das sollt ihr nehmen. Aber einen Tag später, das war am 9. Mai, am 10. Mai kam die Chefwissenschaftsbeauftragte der WHO, Soumya Swaminathan, oder so ähnlich heißt die, jedenfalls die hat... Die hat gesagt, nein, das geht gar nicht. Wir müssen beachten die Sicherheit und die Wirksamkeit von Drogen, von Arzneimitteln. Und ich glaube, das ist vielleicht der bessere Begriff. Den müssen wir auch noch hören, diesen Byram, diesen texanischen Arzt. Wir müssen uns an der Sicherheit und Wirksamkeit solcher Arzneimittel orientieren, als seien die Impfstoffe, die nicht getestet sind, sicher und wirksam. Und deswegen geht Ivermectin nicht. Und da war ein Link drin, der führte zu Merck, einem Pharmaunternehmen. Wir haben ja eben von Herrn König gehört, wer hier eigentlich die Zügel in der Hand hat bei der WHO. Und bei diesem Link konnte man finden, obwohl Merck sogar Ivermectin herstellt, dass die es abgelehnt haben, weil sie gerade mit antiviralen Produkten, also wohl auch mit Impfstoffen beschäftigt waren. Nun fragt man sich, die einen, die WHO sagt, machen wir nicht. Die WHO ist es aber gar nicht selbst, sondern das ist die Pharmaindustrie, nämlich Merck. Und die anderen, nämlich der Gesundheitsminister von Goa, sagt, doch, machen wir. Ivermectin ist gut. Daraufhin hat Frau Oja gesagt, jetzt gucken wir uns und ihre ganze Gruppe von Juristen und Experten, dann gucken wir uns eben weitere Wissenschaftler an, haben sich amerikanische und britische Wissenschaftler und Äußerungen dieser Wissenschaftler angehört und beide sagen, hey, Ivermectin und auch anderes funktioniert durchaus. Es funktioniert sogar im frühen Stadium sehr gut, aber auch bei schweren Fällen, also sie sprach von Leuten, die schon quasi aufgegeben worden waren, denen hat man Ivermectin gegeben und plötzlich ging es wieder. Plötzlich waren sie eben nicht tot, sondern haben sich erholt. Das habe ich auch in Videos von amerikanischen Ärzten gehört. Sie haben dann eine gerichtliche Aufforderung, ein Abmahnschreiben, würden wir vielleicht sagen, an diese Frau geschickt und haben gefragt, warum machst du das? Warum versuchst du den Menschen hier in Indien ein Medikament vorzuenthalten und pusht in Richtung von Impfungen, obwohl es ein Medikament gibt, was nach der internationalen wissenschaftlichen Meinung funktioniert? Und sie hat dann sofort das Zeug von der Website gelöscht. So that was her immediate response. She deleted that tweet. Was it a tweet or yeah?
Tweet.
And what happened next?
Yes. And then we read about petitions came to be filed in the state of Goa, wherein the petitioners questioned the stand taken by the state government, the health minister, of administering ivermectin to the citizens of Goa, especially when WHO has advised against it. So this was the contention of the petitioners. They had questioned the action taken by the state government. Mm-hmm. So this was one of the petitions amongst several other petitions which were filed in the state of Goa in the High Court of Bombay. And the decision came in on 28th May in this writ petition. And the decision was in the favor of ivermectin. Now, it is worthwhile to mention that ivermectin continues to be a part of our national COVID management protocol as of today. The Government of India's latest protocol, released on 24th of May 2021, which is available on the website, it mentions ivermectin could be used for patients with mild symptoms and those who are in home isolation. So despite ivermectin being included, we had this tweet coming in from WHO. So it was like exactly an opposite stand taken by WHO, even though the Government of India has recommended its use for patients with mild symptoms. So the judgment which has come in on May 28th, it was after considering the affidavits by the state health minister and the Government of India, who stated on affidavit that they have relied on studies by experts that this is a safe drug and it has been there around for 40 years. It has won the Nobel Prize in the year 2015. And there is a lot of safety data. Certainly it is not fatal. And it has been proved effective in the early treatment of COVID-19. So after considering this, the Bombay High Court reached a decision that yes, ivermectin could be used in the treatment of COVID-19. So, and there was another development. There is a state by name Tamil Nadu. The state earlier had this ivermectin included in their protocol. But after this tweet from Dr. Soumya Swaminathan, state of Tamil Nadu removed ivermectin from its state protocol. And today we have data. In fact, the data has been analyzed as to, you know, the surge in COVID cases and the number of deaths in the state of Tamil Nadu after ivermectin was removed from the state protocol. So these were some of the striking after effects of the tweet coming in from Dr. Soumya Swaminathan against ivermectin.
Can you repeat that? Because I didn't quite manage to write this down. That's the state of, how do you spell that name?
Tamil Nadu, TAMILNADU.
Okay. Tamil Nadu. Okay.
And this is the home state of Dr. Soumya Swaminathan.
Oh, interesting. Yes. So
he hails from this state.
So what did this state do again?
They removed ivermectin from the state protocol. Earlier it was included, but after the tweet coming in from Dr. Soumya Swaminathan, they removed from their state's protocol.
What did you do then, or what did the state do?
It was their decision to remove it, simply based on WHO's recommendation not to use ivermectin. And so in India, we have states who have different protocols. Some states have ivermectin included in their protocol, and some have decided not to include.
Okay. I'll translate that too. Also interessante Geschichte. Es wurde dann, um klarzustellen, dass diese Swaminathan-Frau, die Chief Science Officer ist von der WHO, dass sie Unrecht hat und dass es keinen vernünftigen Grund gibt, Ivermectin nicht zu benutzen, eine eine Klage eingereicht beim High Court of Bombay. Es gibt 28 Staaten in Indien, jeder hat einen High Court. Und am 28. Mai wurde dann zugunsten der Nutzung, der Benutzung von Ivermectin entschieden. Im Übrigen gehört Ivermectin zur Standardbehandlung in Indien. Es gibt da viel Erfahrung mit, es gibt so gut wie keine Nebenwirkungen, es gilt als sehr sicher. Erstaunlich, in einem Nachbarstaat, Tamil Nadu, oder nicht Nachbarstaat, in einem anderen Staat, wurde das Medikament von der Liste der Medikamente entfernt. Warum? Das ist der Heimatstaat von eben dieser Chief Science Officer der WHO. Okay.
So, the legal notice that was issued on 25th of May, I would quickly take everyone through the prayers or what we had mentioned, you know, what we had called for from Dr. Soumya Swaminathan. We have said, provide your and WHO's response to each and every finding shared by FLCCC in their public statement issued on May 12, 2021 regarding the fallacies in the living guideline issued by WHO on 31st of March 2021. Then we had asked her to furnish the study papers, research, knowledge resources relied upon by her, based on which she has tweeted against the use of ivermectin on 10th of May 2021. Explain the rationale for attaching the notification of Merck dated February 4th, 2021, instead of her own living guideline of WHO dated 31st of March 2021. And then we have asked her to explain with facts and figures that supports her stand that ivermectin is not safe. And the last, strictly refrain from sharing views on ivermectin for COVID-19 till the above points are addressed. So this is what we had called upon her to, her response on these points, which she has not replied to as of today.
So that is your prayer. That is your prayer for relief. You want to know what she bases her decision on to not include ivermectin in the catalog of treatments. And you want her, if she can't come up with an explanation, obviously she can't. If she can't come up with an explanation, you want her to not be able to exclude ivermectin any longer from the treatment of the Indian people.
Right.
Excellent.
Right.
Okay. Also Sie haben, das hat sie eben nochmal erläutert, in der Klage Anträge, würden wir sagen dazu, das ist ein Prayer for Relief, Anträge gestellt, die darauf hinauslaufen, dass erstmal die Frau, diese Chief Science Officer, fest auf den Tisch legen soll, auf welcher Grundlage sie überhaupt dagegen war, dass Ivermectin eingesetzt wird. Das wird wohl ein bisschen schwierig werden. Und dann soll ihr mit dem weiteren Antrag verboten werden, weiterhin Ivermectin als nicht sicher darzustellen, weil es gibt ja die anderen seit vielen Jahren vorhandenen Studien und auch die Stellungnahmen aus anderen Ländern wie England und den USA, die das glatte Gegenteil sagen. Okay.
Can I ask a quick question? Like with regards to the Corona incidents in India, what was like, just to get an overview, has there really been a lot going on, or is this like also like maltreatment, maybe what we saw in other places of the world? And because sometimes we see like a huge hype, oh, now the whole of India is basically dying from COVID, you know, that's what we hear in the news here, and then we don't hear anything. So what's the real situation like?
So the question is directed at you because we've been hearing from some people here on this Corona committee who live in India that this is all fake. It is only designed to scare people, both in India and in the international community.
Yes, yes. So you heard it right. It is all a media hype. And we had videos which were posted, which were not related to the current year's pandemic, but they were like from the earlier years of some different incidents, and they were being circulated in the media, and a hype was created that, you know, there are several deaths and people are not getting the necessary things like the oxygen or, you know, the drugs, or they are not getting beds in the hospital. So there is a lot of media hype in the mainstream media, And we had an interesting incident in the second wave that we grappled with. There was like continuous reporting around shortage of oxygen in India, in the hospitals. And the report said that okay, several people have died, have lost their lives because they could not be given oxygen on time. Mm-hmm. So the matter had gone to the Supreme Court of India, the apex court in India. And it had directed formation of an audit committee to find what the ground situation is to all, in all the states. And surprisingly, when the committee came up with its finding, the news from the mainstream media suddenly vanished because they had inquired with each and every state, with each and every hospital as to what their requirement was and, you know, what had they done to augment the requirement. Then we suddenly had, you know, people or the authorities coming in that, okay, we have sufficient supply of oxygen and, you know, there is no scarcity now. And then suddenly we could see, we could sense the news getting vanished from the reporting and there was silence over it. Then there was no oxygen shortage. So this is just one of the instances of many such narratives which are being created and which are peddled around on a daily basis to bombard people with, you know, all false news and to scare them and, you know, to fear monger so that people stay, they reel under fear, constant fear.
And how many people would you say have really died from COVID in India? Is there like a... Can we, is there like a real statistics or something like that?
It's difficult to put a certain number because, you know, this is a point of discussion throughout now. Now that we know that each death has been counted as a COVID death, be it through suicide, accident, kidney failure, heart failure. So it's difficult. And we are been reading about, you know, fudging around these numbers because it's all a number game in the end. The number of cases which are being reported state-wise, nation-wise, daily. And which RT-PCR test is the basis. So it's all about numbers and, you know, the basic flaw in calculating the deaths, how the deaths are counted. So it's difficult. In fact, there are reports, people are coming up with numbers comparing the earlier years with the deaths reported due to corona. And they say that it is a negligent number. And it's only, you know, sick people who had comorbidities, you know, with compromised immune system who have actually died. And it's definitely the picture is very different on ground than what is being reported.
So when you talk to people in a community or something like that, then it's maybe similar to here that basically most people don't know anyone who was really like, you know, who died from COVID or like who was really severely ill and it's only COVID. And in fact, like most people don't. Or maybe had it, they say I had it, I was tested positive at some point, but I had no symptoms or only mild symptoms or that. So it's actually when you talk to people on the ground, there's not much going on that people say, wow, we have this, you know, this whole community has died or is like, it's the same thing here. And I mean, we now see much more people when you talk to someone and say, so do you know anyone who has problems after vaccination? And then we hear, yeah, my mother is... you know, can't walk anymore, or she has like someone died with a heart attack like shortly after that. It's really mysterious, you know. So a lot of, I mean, I know like at least 10 people where, you know, they have said someone in my family is actually really suffering and has problems or had problems or something, or is even dead.
Yes, yes.
So same thing with you.
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
I know that in Germany, we don't make so much differential diagnosis. And normally when you try to find out the reason of a disease, you have to have in mind that there are many reasons. If you don't get breath enough, your lung may be damaged by many viruses, by many bacteria, and by toxicologic things. So there are many possibilities that you don't get breath. And it's difficult to find out the real reason. It needs a really thorough analysis. You need, if you want to find out which virus it was, you need to make a multiplex test. We know there are tests about for 20 viruses we can use PCR tests, which make us continue in the right direction of search. And this PCR test with 20 in the same time is not even made in Germany normally. They only make COVID-19 tests. And when they find COVID-19 is positive, then they are content. So there are false positive COVID-19 tests, or SARS-CoV-2 tests. And there is a very often we have virus infections with 2, 3 or more viruses at the same time, which changes the thing. And this normal way of having a diagnosis in medicine is completely forgotten in times of COVID-19. So yes. If we ask how many people died from COVID-19, we don't know it. And we can only say so many people died where they were short of breath. And you may even have a weak heart. If your heart doesn't pump well, you're short of breath. And you may have water in your lung when your heart, and this may sound like a pneumonia. It's very difficult to find out the real reason. And you may have asthma, or you may have many, many things. Asthma is a little bit different, but you may have many different reasons why you're short of breath. And we have short of thought now. We have short of diagnosis now. And this is distorting the whole knowledge about pneumonias, about possible reasons for dying with being short of breath. So this is just, I want to put this here in this discussion, that we are aware of the circumstances where we discuss. Thank you.
So is that the same in India? Do they only look for COVID and make no differential diagnosis? Do they not care if what the real reason for the death of the person is?
Well, as far as my reading goes, it is in hospitals, any death which is being reported, it is reported as a corona death. because the moment one enters the hospital, it could be for some reasons other than corona. Yeah. Then there are different wards inside. One would be a corona ward and one would be a non-corona ward. So they would first perform the test and accordingly direct the patient to the appropriate ward. Mm-hmm. And then in corona ward, what I have heard from my friends, the acquaintances, is whosoever has died in the hospitals, their death has been designated as a corona death. Mm-hmm. So the numbers
in India, just like here, are based on the totally misleading PCR tests.
Yes.
And there's no real keeping track of what the people who die really died of. They don't distinguish between death of COVID or with just a positive PCR test.
Yes.
But it seems to be to go even further, if I understood correctly, then you say that every death in a hospital is counted as corona death or COVID death, even if they didn't even have like a positive PCR test.
So if a person dies of any other reason, like say if it is an hypertension or any other condition, they would perform the RT-PCR test, and if it comes to be positive, then it is counted as a COVID death.
Okay.
This is what my knowledge, as far as my knowledge goes, and experiences I have heard of.
Okay,
I have a question.
Let me übersetzen, Wolfgang.
Yeah, an extra fee. When they give the diagnosis COVID-19, do they get extra money for that?
Huh. That needs to be investigated. I have read news which say that in certain countries there were incentives provided to the physicians, doctors or hospital staff to declare a death as a COVID death. But in India, it has to be investigated whether that is a scenario. I'm not aware of it.
Okay. Gut, let me quickly translate again. Also, wir haben eben danach gefragt, nach den Schauerbildern, die man weltweit aus Indien gehört und gesehen hat. Was steckt dahinter? Da sagt sie, das ist alles Media-Hype. Die Videos, die betreffen teilweise frühere Vorfälle. Das hatten wir auch schon mal gehört, dass es sich um beispielsweise bei Toten, die auf der Straße lagen, um einen Giftgasunfall aus dem letzten Jahr handelt, der überhaupt nichts mit Corona zu tun gehabt hat. Sie hat noch genauer beschrieben, dass die Mitteilungen über angebliche Oxygen Shortages, also Sauerstoffmangel, dass die falsch sind. Der Supreme Court von Indien hat das untersucht und dann kam mit Hilfe von Experten raus, nichts davon stimmt. Daraufhin sind diese Meldungen auch wieder verschwunden, die Meldung, dass es nicht genug Sauerstoff gäbe. Sie sagt aber, bis dahin und auch sonst würde hier auch mit Fake News bombardiert werden. Und gezählt, was die Verstorbenen angeht, Wolfgang hat ja eben noch mal gefragt, gibt es da Incentives? Sagt sie, ja, da gibt es Hinweise, aber das muss noch genauer untersucht werden. Es gibt Hinweise darauf, dass finanzielle Incentives gezahlt werden dafür, dass man jemanden als Covid-Toten bezeichnet. Es basiert auch in Indien alles auf den PCR-Tests natürlich. Differentialdiagnosen werden praktisch nicht durchgeführt. Jeder, der irgendwie PCR-positiv getestet ist und danach stirbt, wird als Covid-Toter getestet.
Also wenn jemand verstirbt so und irgendwas anderes, dann wird er nicht getestet. Und wenn dann
das haben wir hier auch schon gehört aus diesem Krankenhaus. There's another thing that I think you mentioned when we first spoke a couple of days ago. Is it correct that in India you're going after, the judiciary is going after people who spread lies about COVID or about the severity of COVID by, for example, claiming that there's not enough oxygen?
Yes. So our apex court has clubbed all the petitions which were filed in several states in India. We have 28 states. So the Supreme Court has suo moto, which means on its own, it has taken up all the petitions across the state so that there is a certainty and, you know, that there is a constant, there are no differing decisions across the states on issues related to COVID management. So Supreme Court is hearing the matters and they cover wider aspects like about the distribution of essential drugs in India and oxygen, the supply of oxygen and, you know, a few other things which are related to the state response to COVID management. And oxygen supply was one of the aspects which for which they had instituted an audit committee. And it is still in process. So they are still in process of sharing their findings. And what I talked about just a while ago was their preliminary finding regarding, you know, a hype created around oxygen shortages. So there is this committee which will monitor and which would, you know, search for the ground facts and would definitely ensure that there is no misinformation which would have a direct bearing on the human life.
Also der Supreme Court, bei uns ist ja zumindest das Verfassungsgericht auch nur noch ein rauchender Trümmerhaufen, aber der Supreme Court in Indien sorgt von sich aus suo moto dafür, dass diesen falschen Behauptungen im Zusammenhang mit Covid, also zum Beispiel nicht genug Oxygen, nachgegangen wird, weil das unter dem Ethics Code nicht erlaubt ist. Also die räumen dann mit diesen falschen Erklärungen auf. Sollten wir uns, wenn wir Heilmittelwerbegesetz angucken, sollten wir uns mal was von denen mitnehmen, ne? Ich glaube, da könnte was für uns Brauchbares sein. Because, you know, the thing is, the reason we're asking about this is that there is a law here in Germany. It's the drug, I guess you could translate it at, Drug Promotion Act or Drug Advertising Act, which prohibits making false claims when you advertise for a drug, which even prohibits if you exaggerate. So this is very interesting for us to hear because India, in that respect, seems to be far advanced as opposed to Germany. Very encouraging, actually. There's another thing that you mentioned. It took a while, but there's a ruling. Is it a ruling or was it a decision by the Indian legislators to find that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation went too far, or not only went too far, but seemed to have tried, by way of claiming we're vaccinating people, they seem to have really attempted to sterilize people. Is that correct? What happened there?
Yes. So this incident dates back to the year 2009, when this NGO, Seattle-based NGO by name PATH, P-A-T-H, which stands for Program for Appropriate Technology in Health. And this NGO PATH is funded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So this NGO, along with ICMR, which stands for Indian Council for Medical Research, in the year 2009, they launched a program for administering HPV vaccines in girls in the age group of 10 to 14 years. HPV, this is a vaccine used for human papilloma virus, and this vaccine is for preventing the cervical cancer in girls. So they chose two states, state of Andhra Pradesh and state of Gujarat. And the group of girls which was targeted was, they were the tribal girls from, you know, very poor families. And in fact, some girls were staying away from their homes, away from their parents in hostels. And this program was like, it was put up as a demonstration project or an observational study. And they made people to believe as if it was a part of the national immunization program. So people were not clear. The girls were not clear. They thought maybe this is something which is an initiative by government. And they were made to believe that this vaccine, which is in fact a very expensive vaccine, is being given to them for free. And there would be no serious effects. And it would help them from serious ailments in the future. So this was what was, you know, picture created for them. And there were like huge lapses in getting the informed consent. We could see that the tribal girls did not know English. Neither their parents could understand English. And the forms were in English language. So nobody had explained to them what they were signing upon. There were, in some forms, we found that the date of consent was a date later than the date of when the vaccine was administered. Then there were thumb impressions on few forms. Then, as I said, few girls stayed away from their parents and they were staying at a hostel. So they had taken signature of the hostel wardens instead of the parents. The parents are the natural guardians. So these parents did not even know that their girls are being, you know, given this HPV vaccine. And a total 8 girls, tribal girls, died after this vaccine was administered. And several girls faced side effects like giddiness, stomach aches, headaches, and early onset of menstruation, heavy bleeding. So these were not, you know, considered as per law, we need to track all the adverse events after immunization. So these were not being tracked. And also there were like, you know, news were spread that the girls who died did not die because of the HPV vaccine, you know, and maybe they said that two or around 3 girls, they committed suicide by drinking pesticides. So this was, you know, they tried to cover it up. So there was a parliamentary committee which was formed, the 72nd parliamentary report, which covers this issue extensively. And they came up with their final report in August 2013, where they have clearly fixed the culpability of the officials of PATH, the officials of ICMR, where they have royally flouted the rules around administration of vaccines and clinical trials. And they had called for a thorough investigation by the premier investigation agency and to punish all those who were responsible for the deaths of these girls and for the girls who suffered severe side effects of these HPV vaccines. And this matter also went to the Supreme Court. There was like initial few hearings. In the initial few hearings, the defendants came up with an argument as regarding the admissibility of parliamentary committee report as an evidence. So there were like multiple hearings around this concern. And finally, a judgment came in. A larger bench was constituted, comprising of 5 judges of Supreme Court. And a judgment has come in the year 2018, which upholds the value of parliamentary committee report. The judgment says that yes, it is admissible as evidence. So you see, it is, the matter is sub judice in the Supreme Court, and we are hopeful that it would be heard very soon.
And was it, just to clarify this, was this vaccine really a vaccine against HPV, or was it something different from that?
Well, we have gone through the parliamentary committee report. So these were experimental vaccines. There was no sufficient data. Obviously, it was a clinical trial, which they put up a picture that it's a demonstration study kind of a thing, which was a very misleading picture which was created. But they did not have, any safety data. So the administration was immediately halted. The parliamentary committee together decided to halt the administration and to not to commence the marketing phase of the, which is the next phase after a vaccine passes phase three. So that was the immediate action it was taken. We have not come across any fertility related observations as far as HPV vaccines are concerned. But maybe we need to have a detailed look into whether, the cases have been reported, because it has been now around 12 years that this incident had happened.
How old were the girls who took part in this trial, which they didn't know was a trial?
These were tribal girls belonging to, small towns in the district of Gujarat and district of Andhra Pradesh. Mm. Andhra Pradesh then, now it is a different state. It is a state of Telangana in India. So these were tribal girls and coming from very poor families and, with very low level of literacy. And how in the old? Age group what of 10 age? To 14 years.
What age were 10 they?
10 to 14 years of age.
Yeah. Okay. Also, es gab eine von einer Bill und Melinda Gates gesponserten NGO gab es in 2009 eine Impfkampagne, die in Wahrheit ein medizinisches Experiment war, was aber den Beteiligten nicht gesagt wurde. Da ging es angeblich um die Bekämpfung von Gebärmutterhalskrebs. 10- bis 14-jährige Mädchen wurden dafür genutzt. Die kommen aus sehr armen Verhältnissen, gehören zu Stämmen, die sehr arm sind und wurden aus ihren Familien teilweise rausgenommen, mussten in Hostels wohnen in der Zeit. Das Ganze wurde ihnen als von der Regierung abgesegnetes Impfprogramm dargestellt, was es nicht war. Man hat damit geworben, dass das Ganze umsonst ist und dass das Schutz gegen Gebärmutterhalskrebs gibt. In Wahrheit ist nichts davon wahr. Insbesondere auch hier wieder das Problem mit dem Informed Consent. Die Kinder und auch ihre Eltern haben keine Information darüber bekommen, dass es sich um ein Experiment handelt. Im Gegenteil, sie wurden belogen. Es wurde der Eindruck erweckt, es handele sich um ein Regierungsprogramm. Manche der unterzeichneten Einwilligungserklärungen sind einen Tag älter als die sogenannte Impfung. Inzwischen sind 8 von den Kindern tot. Sehr viele hatten weitergehende Nebenwirkungen, nicht nur starke Kopfschmerzen. Und das Ganze sah aus wie ein Cover-up, hat sie gesagt. Man hat sich ein Parlamentskomitee gebildet und im August 2013, da ist es gebildet worden, und die stellten dann fest, dass im Zusammenhang mit dieser medizinischen Impfung oder dem Experiment alle Regeln gebrochen wurden und dass das im Gericht verfolgt werden muss. Dagegen hat sich Gates NGO natürlich gewehrt. Das Ganze ging zum Supreme Court und der hat 2018 eine Entscheidung getroffen, wonach das Parlamentskomitee korrekt entschieden hat und dass hier eine gerichtliche Verfolgung erforderlich ist. So now there will be a judicial proceeding, obviously, against this Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation related NGO.
Yes.
Are there also proceedings against Bill Gates personally, or are you not aware of that?
This is the latest against the foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not aware of any particular litigation against him personally.
Okay.
I need to have a look at it.
Are there any current cases that go into the question of whether there is a basis, a factual basis, if there is evidence for this really being a pandemic.
Yes, they are in the cases are currently being in the progress. They are being drafted. So we have been receiving calls and requests for meetings from several activists and NGOs who have studied the falsity of RT-PCR tests and the unscientific mandates, the mask mandates that we all are made to go through. And what we understand is there are several groups which are in the process of filing litigation against the illegal lockdowns, the fake RT-PCR tests, and the mask mandates. So there are different groups. Each of them propose to take up each aspect and resort to the courts to help them out.
As I asked you the last time that we spoke, from everything that you tell us, it seems that you really do have a functioning judiciary in your country.
Yes, certainly.
Absolutely.
Certainly we can say that.
That is extremely encouraging because this is the contrary of what we have here.
Okay. So recently we have three judgments coming in from high courts regarding mandatory vaccination. So there are these states where a vaccine mandate has been enforced on the citizens of that state, wherein there is a clear-cut discrimination. Like the state authorities, they have the executive orders say that only if a person is vaccinated, he or she is allowed to, open their shop or to undertake any occupation. And otherwise, or else there should be boards which should be displayed as vaccinated and non-vaccinated. So people have approached the respective high courts seeking redressal of this, very ex-facie discrimination. So the judgments have come in favor of, not discriminating people on the basis of their status of vaccinated and non-vaccinated. The latest being yesterday, we had judgment coming in from Manipur state. So it says such a discrimination should not happen. It's not correct.
That's a question. I have a question. Anna, may I?
Yeah.
Do you know in India is there a system of seizing some probes, some samples of all vaccinations given to the people, the pharmaceutical products that are provided to the people? Is there an institution that just takes samples or that seizes? Afterwards, to find out what is really in the vaccine, what is really the contents of it, because we in Germany have a big problem. It's the enterprises themselves who take the samples and to declare what is in it. There is no independent institution that takes samples of the vaccines, analyzes them, makes a sequencing it, or tries out to find the chemical contents of it, because we have reasons to mistrust the industry that they mix something in what is not declared. And if you want to find out what is really in this in the vaccine, and the difference between the declared contents and the real contents, you have to have independent taking samples without announcing that. Just dropping in, taking samples from all the charges, from all the production numbers existing. So I wonder if any state does it. It would be very helpful in this situation.
Okay. In India, we have three vaccines. The first one is the Covishield, which is by name AstraZeneca worldwide. So Covishield is manufactured by Serum Institute of India, SII, and it is the largest manufacturer of vaccines, and it is a provider of vaccines to most of the parts of the world. So I'm sure what you explained about, having an independent check on the contents of vaccines could be a matter of concern when vaccines are being imported or rather they are being made by a company, manufactured by a company which does, it's an external company. Possibly, that is what my analysis goes about. Here, since the manufacturer is based in India, the major manufacturer, Serum Institute of India, they could possibly have an internal checks, or I'm sure there could be some third-party checks, but I'm not aware of that aspect, the clinical aspect.
There is no state program that provides such a check.
I am not aware of any such program. Mm-hmm.
Aber wir wollen zwischendrin noch mal schnell übersetzen, dass sie gesagt hat, das indische Justizsystem ist nach ihrer Ansicht in sehr gutem Zustand, es funktioniert. Es sind verschiedene NGOs, die gesagt haben, das geht nicht, diese PCR-Tests taugen nichts, wir müssen dem Ganzen gerichtlich nachgehen, das ist alles unwissenschaftlich. Und dem wird auch nachgegangen. Inzwischen gibt es in 3 Staaten, die jeweils einen High Court haben, 28 Staaten gibt es insgesamt, die haben alle einen High Court, und in 3 Staaten Entscheidungen, wonach ein Impfzwang unzulässig ist. Auch ein privater Impfzwang, dass man also als Arbeitgeber seine Arbeitnehmer zwingt, sich impfen zu lassen, oder dass man Menschen, die selbstständig sind, nur erlaubt, sie dürfen ihr Geschäft aufmachen, wenn sie geimpft sind. Das ist alles unzulässig, sagen diese 3 Staaten in Indien, diese 3 High Court Decisions. You know, we have our chief legal advisor of the Corona Committee is our friend Professor Dr. Martin Schwab. You're going to meet him one of these days. And
I've seen him.
You have, right? Yeah, right.
In last Friday's Dr. David Martin's...
No, that's the other one. That's David Martin is an American scientist, but our friend is a professor of law. His name is Professor Dr. Martin Schwab. And he was very skeptical of everything that was going on here at first, because he tended to believe the government, our government, that is. And in the meantime, he says, I don't believe anything my government tells me anymore. I don't believe anything that I can see in the media. And we have to take a close and fresh look at everything. I tend to believe the same thing. And you know what? It appears to me that we here in Germany are the third world country, and you're the developed country as far as your judicial system is concerned. I'm really impressed.
It's good to know that, you know, we have a functioning judiciary, and we have we certainly have a ray of hope in this time of crisis. Yeah. We have something to look forward to.
Yes, I really find that encouraging. And now that we're all connected, we should exchange the information that we have, the different judgments that we have.
Yes.
I'll put you in touch with our American colleagues as well, so that there's a very quick flow of information whenever it becomes necessary.
I have one more question. Like, yes. What do you think the percentage of people who are aware that is something severely wrong with this whole crisis? How many people do you think are this in the Indian population? And is there a lot of censorship going on, or are you being punished for when you speak out and say, I have doubts here or there, or this is not true?
So censorship on social media is experienced by several people who are putting videos and their views on the platform, several platforms, wherein we see the videos being pulled out where they talk about alternative remedies. Here in India, we have a traditional system of medicine, alternative system, which comprises of Ayurveda, yeah, naturopathy, homeopathy. We have a dedicated ministry by name Ayush, A-Y-U-S-H. There is a dedicated website. People could go visit the website and, you know, read more about the alternative therapies. So people do trust, and there is a rich heritage of these therapies. And they would certainly rely on, you know, these therapies to treat themselves of COVID. And there are experiences of people from horse's mouth who say that, who would direct their experience as to how they have overcome COVID by, you know, relying, depending on these traditional medicines. So you see, people who would promote these or would try to disseminate knowledge around effectiveness of these remedies, they are also being censored. And generally, till last, say till the month of April, what we found, the awareness level was very low. Generally, people fell prey to the narrative which is being run, the peddled in the mainstream media, in newspaper, in major television channels, and vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. The only thing that can save a person is vaccine. So we had a hard time even to initiate a discussion with people. And when I say people, I'm referring to highly educated people, you know, who we expected would relate to what we were trying to say, because we do not try to explain just, from thin air. We share with them the experiences or what the scientists are saying, the scientific outlook. But still there is a resistance. There is a hesitancy to accept. They would say that, no, why would government or rather, health authorities would introduce something which is, in fact, not helpful, or rather it will have a very severe impact on their lives. So this was the main challenge. But now, after people started speaking out and, these legal notices being widely discussed everywhere, then now we have people coming out in the open and they do not fear now. They come out in the open. We have webinars happening where people would talk about alternative therapies and the ill effects of vaccine, the gray area around informed consent not being there, experimental vaccines, I would call, and the adverse events which are being reported. In fact, we have several NGOs and activists who would themselves track the testimonials of families who lost their loved ones after they were vaccinated. So there is active dissemination of information now, and I think the awareness level is increasing day by day, and that's a very encouraging sign, because each person who becomes aware of the dangerous impact of vaccines, it's like kind of saving one life. Yes. And that one person in turn would save lives of his family. So one person getting to know the ill effects of vaccine would mean several people are, saved from the harmful impact of vaccine, I would say.
Mm-hmm. One more question. You have a very strong film industry and a lot of stars, like I like these Bollywood movies. And so is there any of these actors speaking out, be aware, don't, get vaccinated or something like that? Is there some resistance in this with the artists?
No, in fact, there is. I have not come across any popular film personality who has come up with an, with his or her own view against vaccines. Certainly not.
Okay.
In fact, after they would have the jab, there are instances where we see their pics, on social media, photos being posted that, okay, today they had their first jab and second jab, finally vaccinated. Or they have these posters at the vaccination centers where, gullible people would go and, just stand in the frame where they say, okay, we are vaccinated now, safe. And they would post it on the social media. So not many people are coming out.
So resistance comes from doctors, from lawyers, and from just the main folks who are hesitant because they think our traditional medicine is maybe better than this new stuff.
Right. So here in India, we see even the community of doctors is divided. For that matter, even lawyers is divided. There has to be a widespread, dissemination of knowledge. We need to go and explain to people why are we, talking about against administering of this experimental vaccine. So in doctors community, we have one group who will say, okay, don't fall for this, what these guys are talking about. Please go and get your jabs and be safe. Even few doctors would have this stand. And then there are other doctors who would, the right-minded doctors would say, no, they would give the factual reasons, the legal reasons around informed consent and, vaccine, not the trials not having taken place on pregnant ladies or girls who are in the age of conceiving or who have people who have recovered from COVID. So they are repeatedly coming and reminding people, that these are the exclusions from the clinical trials. And currently what we have is a blanket mandate that everybody should go and just take the jab. So, and we have, we are making them aware of, we're asking them to have a look at the government data on adverse events being reported so that they can see for their own as to, how many people have died after vaccines were administered or who had some serious side effects after. I think these things would make them believe what we are trying to convince them about.
Okay. Wir müssen genau. Überwechseln, weil die Franzosen warten, aber das muss natürlich auch noch übersetzt werden. Viviane hat eben gefragt, wie groß sind die Zweifel in der Bevölkerung und gibt es da auch so eine Censorship, also eine Zensur? Ja, sagt sie, eine Zensur gibt es da auch in den Medien, aber in der Bevölkerung werden die Zweifel immer größer, weil, das ist vielleicht auch wirklich nicht zu unterschätzen, ein großer Teil der Bevölkerung auf die traditionelle Medizin der Inder vertraut, Ayurveda, Homöopathie, Und es gibt viele Geschichten von Menschen, die sagen, die hatten Covid und das mit ihrer traditionellen Behandlung hätte das schon völlig ausgereicht. Dennoch in den Mainstream-Medien wird, genau wie bei uns, weil die ja eben von den üblichen Verbrechern gekauft worden sind, immer nur Werbung für Impfen, Impfen, Impfen gemacht. Jetzt allerdings kommen immer mehr Menschen raus und sind, ohne dass sie Angst haben vor irgendwas, bereit, alles zu diskutieren. Also auch die Nebenwirkungen der Impfung, auch, dass es ganz andere Möglichkeiten der Behandlung gibt. Auch natürlich, dass es überhaupt keine Grundlage für alles gibt, weil der PCR-Test nicht funktioniert. Sie sagt, man muss einfach weitermachen und so viel wie möglich Menschen informieren. Wenn man einen informiert hat, rettet man ein Leben, der erzählt es aber seiner Familie und dann rettet man sicherlich noch ein paar mehr Leben. Die Filmbranche, nach der Viviane auch gefragt hat, ist genauso defekt wie unsere. Da sind nur sehr wenige, nee, gibt es überhaupt keinen, bei uns ja auch nur sehr wenige Filmstars aus der Bollywood-Branche, die allesamt eher, wenn überhaupt, Werbung für diese Impfung machen. Die Mediziner und die Juristen seien allerdings erkennbar ebenfalls divided, also sind gespalten, was man bei uns kaum sagen kann. Ne? Bei uns gibt es 10 oder 20 Anwälte und dann gibt es vielleicht, nein, so ganz so wenig ist es nicht. Ne? Aber es gibt sehr viele, die einfach Angst haben. Gut, Deepali, that was very important because I know that this is not only being watched by German viewers or German-speaking viewers, it's watched by very, very many English-speaking people in the world. And I think it was very important to understand, for them to understand that many of the pictures that they were seeing were simply propaganda. And which I think is even more important, to see that you do have a functioning judiciary. That is extremely encouraging.
Yes.
Okay. Deepali, we'll be in touch. We'll talk again.
Certainly. Yes, yes, Dr. Raina. Certainly.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you. And have a great weekend. Bye.